Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to News Burp, the show that trolls the internet for news and burps its essence in your general direction. My name is Matt, and that sexy fucker over there is Adam.
Hello.
And this is episode number 261, and today we have stories about shock, horror and surprise as social justice warriors miss another target, and you can win a prize by driving at the speed of ketchup, and a man marries his dead wife's sister on the day he was supposed to marry the dead one, but she died on the wedding day, so he just married the sister instead.
That's some headline. I have a guy who's marrying his sex doll, but is up for human dating, and an influencer is caught pretending to be in business class.
Influencers. Yeah. I'll save it.
Save it, because...
I'm going to save it.
Honestly, the story is nothing, but I think our commentary about it is going to be...
Plus, I have some very recent and fresh insight into the whole influencer thing.
Well, yeah, I got views on it. Oh, geez, always getting ready. Look, you're all right, you're grand. We're doing well.
No, we Deadpool dressing gown is off.
Yous are fucking dead, people. He's coming to get you. He's in your brain now, lad. Look at him there.
Oh, the tension will be in your bum.
So close.
That's the old saying from Scarface. First, you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the brain, then you get the bone.
Say hello to my little friend.
Oh, you know that whole speech that he gives Manny about, you know, rising to power in America?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just, the last line is...
Verbatim is what it is.
First you get the money, then you get the car, then you get the bomb. What? Poor Manny. What are you talking about, man? You get the bomb, you know, the bomb, you get the bomb. Oh, the bomb. No. The bomb. The anus.
The
rectum.
Give it a little bit of a tickle.
Like that, Manny? No, man.
It's
going to happen.
And they'll tongue punch in the fart box, as they say, on dating sites these days.
On dating sites?
Yeah. I want to tongue punch you in the fart box.
I enjoy long walks on the beach and being tongue punched in the fart box.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tongue punch you right there.
Yeah.
Until I go, whatever. Yeah. Tongue punched. Blah, blah, blah.
That's just
in the fart box.
In the fart box, yeah.
So descriptive.
I mean, it's also accurate.
Look, I'm not going to get lost in those directions. In fairness,
it's the tongue punch that's quite visually striking for me.
It's. Because when I think of a punch, I think of the force behind it.
It's a force. It's a Rocky montage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the slow motion. and the spittle and the blah.
There's a big sweeping score by Bill Conti that builds up with horns and brass as you're tongue punching that fart box.
But, like, I presume, like, tongue punching is like flicking your like an alien, like just. But I don't have much force there.
As always, our sympathies go out to Tina, because these are the noises and faces that he makes during sexy time.
Wait till I report to you tomorrow for Patreon and go how it went tonight. I said it to her. I said, "Tina, my love, what time did Tom put you in the firebox?" And she rolled over and fell asleep. I was like, yeah. "Maybe tomorrow."
You probably get more of a reaction if you're like, "Matt said I have to do this thing for the podcast."
Yeah, I get a reaction of "fuck off." All right, love you. Night.
No. It's just really, really, really quick tongue punch in the firebox.
Yeah, I'd say just like two or three times, and I just need a reaction. Can you write down your reaction? What you think it's like? Is that good?
Did but you I was like listening that? On audio, not watching the video. that noise that he made accompanied him. Visually acting out what it would be like if he tongue punched his wife's fret box.
Well, I'm very aware that we're on camera as well, so I have to, instead of just making noise, going, "Oh yeah, blah, 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 I have to.
Yeah. You sound like that turtle trying to fuck a shoe.
I love that guy. And you know what else? Tina hates that noise when I do it.
Ah, oh, you should couple that with your tongue punch.
I feel like I have to put my like head into it, which is awful. You don't want to do that.
You're bobbing like a pigeon.
But you don't want to do that when you're like in that position. That's just like hitting the bars and everything. You're just like, you fuck.
Oh yeah, a head buttoner.
Yeah, but like ever in like one of the most delicate places.
Yeah. Well, look, do let us know how it's going.
I'll see you back on camera tomorrow with black eye. Didn't go well. Did not go well.
That'll be our Patreon. Top 5 ways not to punch your wife in the firebox.
Or top 5 ways of how to suggest weird things in the bedroom. Do you ever play on swings when you were a kid? Yeah. Do you ever want to be attached to a bungee cord and have a dick in you? What? Huh? When I was a kid? Yeah.
What I'm going to do, I want to propose something. On the internet, they call it a lefty cappuccino. I don't really know what it is fully, but we're going for it. All right.
I'm going to get an Urban Dictionary, flick to a page, and point my finger down. And whatever it is, we're doing it.
Oh, man. That's never a good idea.
No. Shall we do weekly word updates?
Fuck it, why not?
All right. News.
That's it. That's all we need.
Hey, Adam.
Yes, Matthew.
What's worse than a social justice warrior?
I was going to say, feminist.
Vegan. Wow. I wouldn't listen to you if lost immediately.
Bye, Fiona.
No, what's worse than a social justice warrior?
I have no idea.
A gay social justice warrior during Pride Month.
Fuck. Jesus. Oh, God. What I said was bad.
Let me explain why.
Okay.
So, you know of a video game developer by the name of NetherRealm?
Yes.
That sound familiar to you? Yeah, they do the Mortal Kombat and the Injustice series of beat-ups, fighters. They had to release, an apology. I say had to. They just got attacked.
They quenched the fire before it spread to the forest.
Yeah, but still, there was still a big hullabaloo over it. Okay, so here's the thing, right? They have a character, right? In Injustice 2, and the character is based on the DC. Well, it is the character of Poison Ivy, based on the DC characters of the same name.
Yeah.
Right. In DC canon, she's bisexual.
Oh.
Yeah. A fact I didn't know.
Me neither.
A fact that wouldn't have bothered me, one way or the other. The way I learned about this fact is because. Well, they got picked on because people said, "Oh my God, how can they have a bi character in a game where you just you beat people up. So they're beating up a bi person during Pride Month.
But I'm sure you can play as Poison Ivy and be the beater upper. Mm-hmm. And really, it's a computer game. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I think would probably be worse if they said, okay, well, actually, we're just going to make her straight then. I said, you can't just make it straight. Okay, we'll just make it lesbian. You can't just change someone's sexuality. Oh, well, we can't not have the DC universe without her. So what do you suggest? Can't they all just like play Jenga? Yeah, play Jenga, yeah.
Yeah, well, here's the story. Here's the full story.
Right.
NetherRealm Studios posted an apology on its Twitter account for what can only be described as an inappropriate way to celebrate Pride Month. It's not. It's fucking not. The whole thing's an overreaction, right? I'm just going to interject whenever I feel I should.
Yeah. Right. Go on.
The developer released a challenge event in its mobile fighting game Injustice 2, in which players were invited to beat up Poison Ivy, a DC Comics character who has been portrayed as canonically bisexual in the name of love and friendship. More recently, she has been depicted as being in a relationship with Harley Quinn, another villain from the DC universe. Characters in a video game.
I know. Characters from a comic.
Turned into a video game. One of those characters, Harley Quinn, didn't even come from the comic. She came from the cartoon. It's like giving out about cartoon character.
Did she? She's not even... Well, she... And then from there, she made it into the comics, did she?
From there, she made it into the comics and then she made it into the movies. But she started off in the animated series.
No way.
But I digress. Doesn't matter if, you know, they like a sausage or a clam packet.
They are no peeps.
Or a bit of both. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The character's in a video game. The point of this video game, also, is to beat up the other character, right? Now, they'll say that what they're more focused on is the fact that this particular challenge in the game where you beat up a bisexual character was released in Pride, during Pride Month. Somebody described it as, hang on, I love the overreaction to it, where is we? Fucking hilariously tone deaf. And I'm like, calm the fuck down, right? Because if they hadn't, and here's my question, if they hadn't have included an openly bisexual character during Pride Month, would they have been accused of not recognising their openly bi character during Pride Month?
It's like, you're down if you do, you're down if you don't.
Fucking social, just fucking gay social justice warriors during Pride Month.
I don't know.
Social justice warriors every other day of the week. I just can't.
Look, it's okay. It's okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay because you know, we slagged off PETA last week for the ridiculous things they do. yet this has been taken seriously. Here's the apology that the PR department had at the ready. We recognize associating our global challenge with Pride was insensitive and inappropriate. Real life violence against the LGBTQIA plus community. Fuck me, and women within the community in particular is all too common, and we should actively engage in efforts to end said violence, not normalize it. We apologize to the greater community, but especially to all those letters and our members. We are committed to listening and doing better. It's a video game about hypothetical, made up imaginary characters doing, just fighting each other. It's schoolyard stuff of what would happen if Batman and Superman fought. That's actually the whole thing about the game, and you can put Batman against Superman. But God forbid that somewhere down the line they have a story where, you know, Superman's like, you know what, Batman, you're looking kind of sexy. And then they keep him in the game and then make him fight. How could he do that? He's gay.
Oh, wow. Well, there you have it, folks. Matt has a meltdown.
Of all the things to be getting bent out of shape over. This 3-year-old, even three, 4 year, this 4-year-old game put out a random challenge during Pride Month, and this is what people, it's just like, how slow of a news day. was happening.
But there's people out there who are just looking for, they're keeping an eye on if there's anything that's announced as, or like someone said as gay, or a character in a film, book, movie, comedy, it's like, okay, well, how's that character being treated?
Yeah.
It's the same, I'm sure it's the same with like the black community. It's like, oh, we've got a new villain and his name is such a thing, and you say, I noticed that he's black. He's black. Well, does he have to be black? Well, he comes from Africa, so
yeah,
we kind of guessed that he would be black. Oh, so he has to be an enemy because he's from Africa and he's black. Well, you know, there's good and bad from everyone. Okay, well, we'll make him white and we'll call him, I don't know. No. Keep the way it is, but we'll keep an eye on your storylines. Oh, God, you're joining the editing team. Well, that's fantastic. You're on the payroll.
It just seems to be, it's gone from kind of political, not even political correctness. I don't know what, I don't even know what a political correctness has gone from being like, you know, let's not call certain people certain things into, what did you just say?
I think, is this what cancel, you know, culture, what I mean? Is this what, yeah, it's like, what are you doing? Oh, we're doing this. You can't do that. Take that off. Oh, it's just a computer game, though. No. No one's going to buy a computer game.
And do you know what? It was the mobile version of the game. Oh. That's the thing. It's a four-year-old game on console, right? So there would still be people playing it, but not as many as when it came out first. The mobile version of that game gets far less players. So it's like, I don't know. Like when I put it like that, maybe it was like a weird PR thing to boost sales for the mobile version of the game.
Maybe.
Either or case is not stop it.
I think they said, you know, we don't be good if we made one of our characters bisexual. I think the perfect one for that would be Poison Ivy. Aye, that'd be lovely. Yeah, yeah. Okay, now let's just continue the game where one person fights another person. What are they gonna do with Poison Ivy then? Just have her as a referee.
I know.
Just have her give roses out to the winner and the loser.
I don't know. Anyway, look. Stop it.
It's real. No.
Yeah.
No.
Stop it. Right, next story. Heinz, you know those people?
I love Heinz. Are there 57 varieties? Or 75? Yeah. Or how many?
57
varieties?
Yeah. They're going to reward people in traffic who drive at the speed of ketchup. Do you know what the speed of ketchup is?
Is that if you turn the bottle upside down?
Yeah.
How long it takes to fall out?
Yeah.
But that's like, I don't know, 3 miles an hour?
It's actually 0.045 kilometers per hour.
I bet you that's impossible to drive at. I bet you'd have to be on a hill feather than the brake to go that slow.
Yeah.
Just letting gravity just kind of let you roll. And how long do you have to drive like that for?
Well, let's go find out. It's obviously a promotional thing. It's a promotional thing for Ketchup, Burger King. So Heinz Ketchup, Burger King, and Waze. Waze, is it a, I don't know if it's like
a supermarket
ride share or a delivery, the food delivery thing. We'll find out what it is anyway. Notorious for its iconic slow pour, Heinz Ketchup partners with Waze and Burger King to provide those stuck in summer traffic with complimentary ketchup and an Impossible Whopper. Have you tried the Impossible Whopper yet?
No. What's in it?
Not meat, anyway.
Oh, you told me about it. I'd say it's probably like a beetroot burger, is it?
It's that Impossible brand. I think they teamed up with the Impossible Burger brand. Huh. And it tastes exactly like a Whopper for the first 3 bites. And then after that, you're like, this is not a Whopper.
I'm guessing the first 3 bites, like after the first 3 bites, all the salad disappears and the salad cream, you're kind of going, I'm on the meat part, but...
No, I'll tell you exactly what happens is, like, you know the way if you eat something that's heavy in protein, like say even a protein bar or a protein shake, that's because it's pure protein, you can taste the protein nearly.
Yeah.
It's like a consistency, there's like a texture to it.
Yeah.
So after 3 bites, when you get the initial flame-grilled Whopper taste, you go, oh my God, this tastes like a Whopper. Like, your first impression is, I'll never have a real Whopper again. And then bite number four, you're like, get this shit away from me. Right? Because like the first couple of bites going, this is amazing. And then you start to get that proteiny texture going on in your mouth, and then the flavor starts to overwhelm everything else, and then you're like, no, stick it up your hole.
So what is it then?
It's soy protein. I think it's soy protein that Impossible use. They got into trouble actually because, well, they're not as they're not as ethical and they're not as healthy as they'll have you believe. But anyway, that's for another thing.
It's like, okay.
So being stuck in exhausting and never-ending traffic is always a summer pain. But this year it doesn't have to be, thanks to Heinz. Through a partnership with Waze and Burger King, Heinz will be identifying those stuck in traffic, driving at the same speed as the slow-pouring ketchup, and satisfying their taste buds with Heinz ketchup and an Impossible Whopper from Burger King. So this is like, I think, I'm not going to give them any more free fucking publicity, but I think Waze is like a delivery or a rideshare app or something.
Right.
And their app can track how fast the car is going, obviously, and how distance it's going. That's just the way things are these days. So they'll whoever actually travels at the speed of ketchup.
I don't know how they're doing it. Is it like on average, or is it like, are you constantly traveling at like the 0.00 whatever, 25 kilometers per hour?
I don't know. In order for us to find out, I'm going to have to say Heinz 62 times. So I don't really want to read on and find out.
Okay.
But, you know, it's basically rewarding those who are stuck in traffic going, hey, don't worry, stuck in traffic, but we're going to give you some ketchup and a shitty burger. You know, swings and roundabouts at them.
This is it. This is it, Matthew.
So there you go. I'd always going to be a more, you know, I'd always going to be like, hey, if you can prove that you can drive at the same speed of ketchup, we'd give you $5 million. And it was going to be like a big crazy thing, but it's not. It's a fucking PR promotion thing.
What can I tell you?
Right, I'm going to go on to my main story, right, which is the big long headline.
Oh, yeah, right. I look forward to this one.
Yeah, okay. So a bride collapsed and died at her wedding. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The groom then married the woman's sister,
okay,
with her dead body lying in the next room.
This all happened on the same day.
It all happened within the hour. Never mind the same day.
Oh, that's weird now. That's weird. I thought it was...
You thought like the sister died and then he formed a relationship with her
sister.
Yeah,
as in like, yeah, kind of like at the graveyard, kind of like, oh, I'll you know, I'll look after you.
Yeah, you know, he moved on like porn quick. You know what I mean? Like if you're in a porn scene, it's like, oh no, my sister's dead. I'll fuck you, though. That quick.
That sounds very, very sus.
Okay. Well, tell you all about it.
Please do.
Okay. A wedding in India took a morbid turn when the bride collapsed and died just before completing her wedding rituals. Instead, the groom ended up marrying her younger sister on the same day with the original bride's body lying in another room. The incident took place on May 27th, which is only last week, the week before, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
In the northern Indian state of Uttar Pradesh, I'm probably not pronouncing that properly, the wedding was between a woman named, I'm not going to pronounce that properly, or that one. From a nearby village of Nali. The two were exchanging traditional flower garlands during a ceremony called the Jemala. I'm not pronouncing any of this right, I'm so sorry. When the bride collapsed on stage. A doctor rushed to treat her, but later declared she had died from a heart attack.
God.
The day's festivities continued, however, but with a different bride. While the bride's body lay in another room in the house, the nuptials carried on with the younger sister, Nisha, replacing her. So, now comes the paragraph in quotes, which is the explanation and the rationalization for the whole thing.
Okay.
I nearly launched into, like, an Indian impression. I had to stop myself. Oh. I stopped myself from doing an Indian, like Apu from The Simpsons. I was like, it nearly happened, but I didn't do it. So you can't cancel me. We did not know what to do in the situation. Both the family sat together and someone suggested that my younger sister should be married to the groom. I mean...
That sounds like the younger sister went, oh, maybe, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, okay, class. Oh, your friends and family are here anyway. Yeah, it's cool. All right, let's do this.
Arranged marriage is not uncommon in India, as most people may know. Most Indian marriages are arranged between families, not girl and boy, whose consent is rarely factored into the equation. Indian marriages, even among the lower classes, are expensive affairs, where even the poorest of poor have to organise lavish functions in the name of family honour. It was a tough call for our family. One daughter lay dead in one room, and the wedding of another daughter being sodomised in the other room. We have never witnessed such mixed emotions. The grief over her death and the happiness of the wedding have yet to sink in. Well, I mean, I've been to a few weddings where there's been like a row has broken out.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, you know, people drink and you know, somebody says something. Not a lot. I think it's only happened twice, and neither of them I was at. I just happened to be weddings I was working at. It wasn't weddings that was actually at. So, yeah. You know, kind of a rare occasion. I've never had anyone be left at the altar. I always used to go to work and think, we just want one of those soap opera days where he's left standing at the altar, and then I get to go home again.
Fucking, you know, hell, son.
Never happened, though. Never happened, not once. Did have a bride find out that the groom was having a gay affair with the best man.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Not because they're gay, just because he hid it until the last minute. Just before he gets fucking phone calls.
No, he was super gay. But I can't imagine somebody dying and then, even at an Irish wedding, someone standing up and going, what do you mean the midnight feast is cancelled? I want me cocktail, sausages and chips.
I got the day off work for this. I'm having a wedding, I'm having a reception, and I'm getting fucked drunk and I'm walking into a wall somewhere. Let's make this happen, people. Slow clap. Slow clap. Just like, well, who's he going to marry? Here, young one, you're dressed for it. Go on, get up there and say I do, and this will be great now. Yeah, lovely. Lovely sermon. All right, to the hotel.
It's just so mental. It was actually the second time in recent weeks that a last-minute wedding substitute in India made the news. Earlier in May, a bride in another town of the same province married a member of the groom's wedding party after her husband-to-be ran off halfway through the ceremony. The bride's family selected a new groom, and they just carried on.
That is just so weird. It must be very, like, political between the families. It's like, you promised me a wedding. Well, she fucking died.
As they've already said, it's like, even poor families have to put on these lavish things all in the name of family honour. So it's like, listen, this is our life savings.
Yeah.
And probably, future commitment for the rest of our lives for this thing. So someone's getting married.
But it's almost like in those kind of arranged marriages, there's no point in dating or kind of going to just like wait for your folks to sort that shit out for you.
Yeah.
I'd be out there like a hot snot. Like, nah, not doing that. Here's so-and-so, you're marrying her. Nah, I'm not. Stay to that.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
And this would be a question for everybody listening as well. If your parents were in charge of who you had to marry, how happy do you think you'd actually be with their choice?
Oh, God. How happy would I be? I'm sure my folks probably do well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
you sound super enthusiastic about it.
As long as, like, there was no one being forced on either side. It was like, you know, we think this is a good match for you kind of thing. It wasn't like, you have to marry her, she's rich. It's like, oh, Jesus, all right.
Yeah. No, I think I'd just come out as gay, just to stop the whole process. I think that the only thing, because like my parents, no fucking way. It'd be, first of all, they wouldn't be able to agree on it between the two of them. Never mind for me.
Well, if it comes in, like if it was like that backward, that like the dad was like he had the final say. Do you think he would do you proud?
No, because you know the only thing is, here's exactly where my brain went. Can you guess where my brain went with this one?
No.
any time we'd be having sex, I'd be thinking, my dad wants to have sex with you. Because that's why he'd pick her.
Well, just it's a real Irish thing of, I'm going out with the girlfriend. Oh, yeah? Give her one for me, son. Sorry? Give her one for me. No, yeah. Dad. I'm not doing that. Ah, you will, yeah. Bring her back and have a look at her. What?
Yeah.
Give us a smell of you. What, Dad? What are you talking about? Ah, yeah. Sure money now, Fla. Huh? Go on upstairs now and do your thing, huh? Huh? Give her one for me, son.
Did you happen to accidentally bring home a pair of knickers? No.
You don't need them here. Not in this house.
I mean, have any new pictures on your phone there? Any condoms you didn't throw out? No, anything like that? No. Just something that I can suck on. You know what I mean?
Come over here and dance on me knee. Yeah, go on, little girl. Oh yeah, fuck Dad, we're going to bed. Oh, yeah, you're going to bed. Give her one for me, son.
Yeah, don't punch you in the firebox for me, son. Yeah, come on.
Oh, Jesus, that's all.
I don't know. Is this the moral of the story? I don't know, Adam.
Who knows anymore, Matthew? Who knows anymore?
It did make me think of all the weird things I've seen at weddings, though. It's like, I probably told this one before, but I worked with a chef who was gay. So at the end of every shift, he'd go on Grindr because he wanted this nightly hookup.
Yeah.
And one of the times he called me, I was like, look at him. There he is, look. That's your man out at the wedding. And he's standing up. His profile picture was one outside one of our bedrooms.
Oh, in the hotel. Lord. As if I'm here now.
Picture. Yeah. That was a profile picture. Now, he wasn't the groom that was getting married that day. He was in the wedding party and had just gotten engaged to his female fiance 2 weeks previous, but was up on Grindr.
Oh, no.
And our chef fucked him. So,
wait, where was the fiance? Was she not at the wedding?
Huh?
Was the fiance not at the wedding?
Maybe she was. Big wedding, though, 200 people, lots of rooms now in that hotel to sneak off into.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Plus, he was wearing a kilt, so.
Kilts, man, they're fucking class.
They are class, except, you know what? Once you're in one, you're in it for the day.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 4-man operation to get that shit on, and a 6-man operation to get it off. So once it's on, it's on.
Just, you're sleeping, the bad boy.
Fuck, I had to go wear a kilt to a wedding once. Oops. Probably, right? Probably, and... I add in the day that my marriage ended into this. Probably the worst day of my life was having to wear a kilt.
I often feel bad for making Killian wear a kilt. I don't think... He did it for me.
He did it for you, yeah.
And I appreciate it, but he was like... I don't think he was feeling it. As much as I said, yeah, you're in the kilt, he went, oh, yeah, it's great. I think he was that cool and sound about it. He just went... I'm not enjoying this.
Well, I'll tell you, if he did have a problem, I doubt he did. But if he did, he didn't let on and he never said a word. So
he wouldn't.
But yeah, worst day of my life. I also including that, you know, ulcerated foreskin day. You know, I'd go through that again before I had to go through wearing a kilt again.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love a kilt. I love that. Easy breezy feel. I'm feeling like, show us your kilt. And if you just go, wait, they fucking run a mile, son. Yeah. It's like, oh my god, he flashed his kilt. You fucking ass to see me grotesque bollock. So,
yeah.
On your head be it.
I didn't go commando underneath the kilt, though. No.
You kind of have to.
I know, well, you know, you kind of have to if you want to experience the whole thing, but I didn't want to be. I was like a petulant child that day. I was like, fucking stupid. It's fucking 30 days. There's Alexa. It was like 32 degrees in the middle of summer in Killarney in an unconditioned house. And I'm in the full ceremonial, all the shit you wore for your wedding.
Yeah. Man, that's hot.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Yeah. So I was like, no, I'm going to add another layer and make myself more uncomfortable, and I put underwear on.
I think for Kevin's wedding, Kev had it killed, and I wore the underwear because I was like, I don't understand this. I don't get it. And then from then on, I was like, no, you don't need underwear.
Hmm. Fair enough.
It's fantastic. Going to the toilet is a fucking dream.
Yeah, I mean, it's just as well, because I think if it had been like, you know, all the stuff up top and then pants down below, I'd have struggled to go to the toilet. But it was handy, you know. It was the only savior in the day is that it was easy to relieve myself.
Yeah,
you know. But I gotta tell you, man. And looking back, I do feel guilty because everybody knew that day I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't even my wedding. I don't know. And you know what? I don't even know why they sat me in the top table either. You know, it was just like, they were like a row of happy faces. Me.
Fuck's sake. Jesus Christ.
And the waitress comes over and says, would you like some extra food? And I go, I'd love some extra food. But I think if I have any food, this fucking thing is going to fly off me. Because I was wrapped up. I was in there. Like, I was in there.
Yeah, there's not much to give in a proper kilt.
No. And this was the proper thing. This had to, I had to wrap around you like four times.
Come on.
Four times. Made out of carpet, it was. Carpet and underlay. And a fucking sleeping bag. That's what the shit was made out of.
Jeez.
Anyway, I forget how we get on to kilts.
So do I. Oh, weddings.
Weddings, yes. So. That's it, we're done.
Okay. I'm on, so. A bodybuilder who married sex doll says he's up for dating humans, but on one condition.
Am I allowed to guess what that condition is?
Yeah.
Okay. So, he's open to... I love the language. He's open to considering dating...
Yeah, he's human. Up for... I've had the sex doll thing. I'm up for dating humans.
On one condition. They don't make him give up the sex doll.
Pretty much. It's that, that they like sex dolls too.
Ah.
So look, here it is.
He's going to find somebody because, you know, the internet.
This is it. And this guy is... He's kind of well known on the internet, but well, you'll see why. He's a colourful character.
Okie dokie.
Yuri Tulochko has been living a drama fueled life during lockdown, having married a sex doll and divorced her, cheated on a partner of the plastic variety while she was being repaired, and now forming a throuple with two new dolls. One of whom is his massive chicken. The top part being a woman, the bottom, a chicken. So
the bottom's a chicken.
The bottom, I guess he likes like tail feather and skinny legs.
A reverse poultry mermaid.
Yeah, man. It's weird. Now, Tulochko from Kazakhstan has said he's also open to dating humans, having been in a slightly more conventional long-term relationship before. Tulochko, who identifies as pansexual, I think that means he can go from like one to another when he chooses.
Yeah.
Said, I was in a relationship in the past about 7 years. It's interesting and important for me, and in the future, maybe I will have a real person, but it's important that he or she likes my dolls too.
She should have been in India last week.
Yeah, fuck this.
Loads of women going.
Seems very easy for marriage there. You like sex doll? Yeah, I have chicken.
That's the worst Indian accent ever.
No, he's Russian. Yuri is... Or no, he's Kazakhstan. He's explained to the Indian.
Okay. How come you could do that, but I couldn't do an Indian accent?
Well, there's Borat, isn't there? I mean...
Yeah, I was just going to go for standard Apu.
You going to go for a standard Apu?
Yeah, standard, yeah. I wasn't getting any bells and whistles. Apu.
Brilliant. Thank God you did that. I want to have a male doll in the future, and I want to do a wedding of a male doll and Luna, and at the same time I want to do the ceremony of life and freedom with me.
Okay.
Yeah. It's similar to a wedding, but not a wedding. Tulochko was married to a silicone lover called Margot, who ended up being broken and he had to have her repaired. But while she was in hospital, in like inverted commas hospital, his eyes wandered and he ended up doing the dirty with an object, a metal mask.
Okay.
He then admitted to the world that he and Margot were no more, and introduced the world to his new wife, Lola, otherwise known as his massive chicken. Tlashko explained, Lola has a woman's head and a chicken's body. The navel has depth and can be used as a vagina and can have a penis inserted into it.
So, much the same as a real woman.
This guy is mad. This guy ordered this, obviously. So what do you want? Do you want like the breast of like Pamela Anderson or some kind of porn star? Can you do a chicken? What?
That's when somebody ordered it. Because you know, if we even just work in restaurants, people will order everything. Somebody made it, Adam. Somebody took the job, man. All right.
It's just so weird. Chicken. Oh, God. Tlashko explained, Lola has... apparently, Lola and another of his dolls, Luna, get along very well. And now live in a thruple. Explaining the slightly tangled web on Instagram, he wrote, so me and Luna's get along great. Lola also fell in love with Luna. I give each of them separate time, but the three of us together also have fun. Luna is so babe, so honey. I just want to hug her and not let go. He went on to add, by the way, I am often asked how a doll differs from a living woman. In addition to the fact that she can be for a long time in different sex poses, and you can release a variety or realize a variety of fantasies, she also has a unique pussy. There are elements that a living woman does not have, and you just fly into space when you play with her.
Look, you know, he's not hurting anyone, is he?
No.
He's living completely in his own world. By his own rules.
It's just a sex Dungeons and Dragons that he's living there.
Do you know what? He's not hurting anyone. He's not spreading disease. He's not doing nothing. He's just, you know, I'm all for that. I'm still imagining using a belly button as a vagina.
I just want to know the size of this woman chicken thing, and how like.
Was there no pictures in your article? I can look. We'll try and look it up here, will we?
Yuri Tolotko, Y-U-R-I.
Yeah.
And then second name Tolo. Chko. I suppose look up his massive chicken. I suppose.
Jeez, holy shit! Like, do you know? I, even though you said bodybuilder, I was still like, well, he's got to be a bodybuilder, and he's got to be ugly as fuck, right? But he's a normal, you know, good looking dude.
Yeah,
you know. There's no pictures of the chicken. There's all in with his real doll, his silicone sex doll.
Yeah.
None with the chicken. That's disappointing. He does have an Instagram link, though. Let me have a quick go at this. Right, though. His name is Odd Jack. That's for sure. No, there's no chicken there.
No pictures of chicken.
No chicken there, but... I wonder, could I get him on the show for an interview?
That'd be amazing.
Would be. I might reach out. I have to be careful which Instagram account I reach out from.
Yeah. Oh, God. So that's that guy. Next. Influencers. So influencer caught pretending to be in business class post new snap, actually in business class. So the influencer caught pretending to be in business class on a flight has posted a series of Instagram stories and a new photo appearing to actually be in business class, the time quipping in the caption, "This time, I promise I paid." Instagrammer Ocean El Himmer went viral after she tried to convince everyone online that she was traveling from Dubai to Monaco in business class. "Next up, Monaco," she wrote in the caption on 23rd of May. But she was busted when someone else on the flight shared a photo of her of their own, which showed Ocean wearing the exact same outfit while sitting in economy, slumming it in the normal seats with everyone else. While her face is partially covered by her hair, her clothes are a bit of a giveaway. In a new photo, location tagged as Dubai, Ocean can be seen posing with a pal on another flight, each holding a glass of bubbly with one hand while flicking the middle finger to the camera in the other. The cheeky caption reads, "C'est fois, c'est promis, j'ai payé," which translates roughly as, "This time, I promise I paid." She's not mentioned whether she's in business or first class for the new snap, though, whichever it is, it doesn't look like she's having a terrible time. After the photo of Ocean and Economy found its way into the internet, she defended herself on Snapchat, saying that she has no shame in traveling in eco class. Ocean, who has 847,000 followers on Instagram, said she was not the type of person who likes to show her money.
Here's... Okay, okay. This is what this is what set me off on a rant about my first story, was the run off this introduction.
Yes, yes, go ahead.
So, right. So, 847,000 followers on Instagram just goes to show that 847,000 followers on Instagram doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
If it did, she wouldn't have to slum it in economy class. Doesn't like to flaunt her money? Bollocks. She's an influencer. That's her only fucking job, is to flaunt her wealth and all the benefits that she's getting as an influencer. Who is she influencing and what is she influencing them to do, is the problem I have with the term.
Well, it gives a kind of a backlog, or a look behind the scenes, sorry, backlog, that's a fucking phrase, of... these influencers work, and it's like, "Hi, an influencer. Here I am with a Ferrari." It's like, "Is it your Ferrari?" "No, but people across the world don't know that. As long as I dress in shades and an iron shirt, and just go, here's me in a Ferrari.
If I'm in all white and I have shades on, and it's like when I was in Paris a couple of years ago, there's a whole line of sports cars parked along the street, and they're outside the designer shops, they're outside the Louis Vuitton and Hugo Boss and all these shops. Okay." Yeah. And you go up and you pay the guy €20 so that he can pose, take a selfie in front of the car. For an extra tenner, you can hold the key.
Fucking hell.
And that's how those people those people rent, like, themselves, that they rent the car from a high-end rental place. And it's enough money. They make enough money from it to pay for their parking, to pay for the rental, and all this kind of stuff, but just by people wanting to take pictures of the things.
It's crazy.
As influencers. So, but like, you get your thing taken in front of, like, the latest purple Lamborghini right outside Louis Vuitton. Peace, dude. Of course it's mine. I've got the key. You just pay some dude £40 to just take a picture of his car. It's not even his car. He's got to bring it back by 6 o'clock.
But you're kind of hoping. Well, I don't know if you're hoping. But if the introvert thinks, with this photo, I'm going to get so many kind of clicks and likes and all that kind of stuff, that I get more ads and more money. So the £40 I pay that guy, I'm going to make £120.
Yeah, but like, a lot of them don't seem to be influencers of anything. Like I know, like, on YouTube, there's the whole makeup thing. You know, the people do makeup tours and get sponsored by makeup companies. No problem with that. Or any kind of anyone that's doing a review. Like, there's loads of them. They're not changing the world. But I understand that if your focus is makeup, well, then you can influence people to buy makeup based on whatever you're selling. I get that.
Yeah.
Right. But the people who stand in designer the things and go on, or just take a picture beside a private jet, you know what I mean? Or take pictures of somebody else's seat in business class, who are they influencing? That's what I don't get. I don't get that the term influencer spreads to them, or even maybe that's where it came from. Do you know what I mean? If your thing is that you're selling or you're supporting something, then that's your niche. Then that's fine. I get that, right? It's like the new age of sales. This is how sales is going to happen in the future. It's already happening that way.
Yeah.
But if you're just a general thing of, "Hi, here I am in my designer stuff, and the penthouse at the hotel, and look at the car, and I got butler service." Like, who are you? I don't understand what you're selling and who you're selling it to. Especially when you don't, like, it's not working because everything you're doing is fake. You know?
Well, I'm kind of hoping that...
If they were a proper influencer, instead of having to fake business class, British Airways would be onto these people going, "Hang on, they have 847,000 followers. Let's give them a business class ticket." But they don't, because they're still in the economy. So yeah. I don't understand why. Sorry, I cut you off. I don't understand why they're doing it.
No. I take your point. It's I'm hoping that the market kind of saturates itself of these, like, fake influencers. Like you say, there's, if you're an influencer, whiskey is a big thing. You go around, You go to like all the series, you do the tours, you feel yourself, here I am on tour, here I am tasting the whiskey, and that's just like you say, and they will continue on going. But it's the people who just like rock up outside, you know, like a Louis Vuitton shop, like you say, with a Ferrari, and just go, it's a picture of me.
Yeah, or they just stand at the velvet rope of the VIP section of a nightclub beside the bouncer and go, get his VIP. I was like, no, you didn't. You didn't do any of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just, look, whatever. They're young, dumb, full of cum. What do I know?
But the thing of this is, it's the second picture. If they didn't care, if they didn't care about like what it was, they had to get another picture of them sipping champagne and like giving the finger, kind of going, here I am now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, no one's having a go at you. We're just saying, stop being fake. Like, if you're gonna go like business class or top class, yeah, show us a picture of that, because you like obviously people are watching you.
Yeah.
But if you're not, just don't then. But these people just think, I have to get a picture up. I have to put a picture up. So you went, I'm going to run to first top class, click, right, I'll back to the economy. And like, but that's just bait for people who want to go, no, you're a fucking fake. You're a fucking fake. And like, look, here you are. And it just starts this kind of shit, and then everyone doubts the fucking influence. Is kind of going, what's the point? If she's faking it, why the fuck would anyone else be doing it?
Yeah.
I just... Yep. Cunts, yep. Like, fucking yep. Hateful.
Yep. Yep. You know, but then it comes down to, like, you know, the other project that we have going, the Pandemic Pantry, is that it'll trying to influence people to go to the local restaurants.
Yeah.
And it's tough because some people say, oh, you're an influencer, eh? And I'm going, and it makes my skin crawl. I'm going, well, I suppose technically that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to influence our audience to go to your restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, but then I'm also hoping that your audience will follow my page. So, you know, I'm going to influence them, you're going to influence your people, and you know, but I hate that fucker. I hate that term, because it just reminds me of the fake people, you know, with duck face selfies on Instagram.
Yeah, the posers.
Yeah. Fucking assholes, Adam.
I know. But look, sure, that's me now. That's me story.
Okay, fine.
You all right?
Yeah, I'll be all right.
We have some good news.
Yeah.
Here we go with the good news. Okay.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Part of the show where we talk about happy and chirpier stuff. There won't be stories about a pervert running around in a buff. So here's just a few things that we won't talk about in this segment. War and hunger, and the language won't be vulgar. Politics and naked chicks and men doing stuff with their dicks. So sit back, relax, and kick off your shoes. And for once, let's just have some good news.
Hey! Good news. I'm in a much better mood now.
There you are. See that jingle? Fucking lights up the world, man.
Does. We need a video. We need to shoot music video for it. I'm thinking like Busta Rhymes style, where we get real close up to the camera with flashing onesies.
It doesn't really scream that, but you know, we'll do it. I will make you a tinfoil outfit.
Yeah. And a disco ball behind me.
Fuck sure, whatever you want. Get the green screen. Yeah.
Explosions.
Yeah, explosions and boobies.
And bitches and limos.
I'll get you bitches.
I can get a limo. Sweet. So your place, 3 o'clock tomorrow.
What the fuck? Tina rocking home from work. All right. What are these? They're bitches in limos. What the fuck?
What's it look like, Tina?
God, why you ruin my creativity? Okay, Jesus, Matt, take
first
clothes off.
Wouldn't let me tongue punch your firebox, and now it is.
You know, I really don't understand it, Tina. I really don't understand it.
It's just Matt's the only one who understands me.
It's either that, or I'll get a... Oh, God. And she just go in. You waving from the top of the limo. Hi, hi, hi. Yeah, dinner's ready. It's in the oven.
Tina, we got bitches in limos.
Sweetie. Okay, I'll be in a minute. Well, about an hour. 2 hours. I don't know. We've only started. We've just been laughing.
Tina, if you don't want your bitch, can I have her? She says I can have her bitches. I'll have more bitches in limos for me. good news. Okay, so here we go. So,
go on.
295-year-olds. That's good that they live that long, isn't it?
Sorry, when you said 295-year-olds, I thought that was the price of them.
No, there's two people who are 95 years old each.
Lovely.
Yeah. And they found each other and fell in love and then got married all during COVID.
At 95?
At 95.
That is fantastic.
So, for 95-year-old John Schultz, the best thing to come out of the COVID-19 pandemic is coming down the aisle. His bride, Joy Morrow Knowlton, who's also 95. Together they're proving you're never too old to make a lifetime commitment. In fairness, it's lifetime commitment when you're young. When you're old, it's just like, isn't this going to happen any time?
It's real. Do you want to? Yeah.
Yeah, might as well. Yeah. CBS first met the couple in March, parked alongside the banks of the Hudson River in upstate New York. Here we go. Schultz and Morrow Knowlton have both been widowed twice, but were determined to find love again, which wasn't easy, before they were vaccinated. But they had to do most of their dating in a bubble. She was worth it. It was a pain in the neck, though, Schultz said, maintained the relationship through a pandemic. Schultz's son Pete said the two would call each other every day. They'd find a way to get together. They did whatever it took.
Ah, that's nice.
And also, she does anal.
I bet she loves a tongue of our box.
But it's all, look, it seems like, you know, somebody's chasing money here.
I hope not.
So Schultz says, she's richer than I am, just so you know. She just brought me a brand new walker worth $159.
I love it. That's what he's chasing. I love it. It's not the house. It's not the cars. It's not the dairy. It's like, just got me a new walker. Wheels on the back.
He apparently tried to ask her to marry him dozens of times, like dozens. And her exact quote is, finally I said, okay.
I love it. Yeah. So what'll it cost me? I wonder, is the family going, no, fucking Jesus, now we just split the fucking, granny, what are you doing?
Either that, but look, maybe his grandparents are like, well, she's got more money than him, so you go, granddad.
Yeah,
you know, make sure you get worked into that will. It's a really sweet story, because she said she finally accepted the proposal because we had snow days and he couldn't come up here and I really missed him. So there you go. So they decided to get married.
No, that's nice.
Yeah.
I hope she takes the false teeth out and gives him the old
gluck gluck.
Yeah, the old sloppy blow.
Yeah.
Because if it's really kind of like young, you know, like fresh in the dating, there's lots of sex going on. So I really hope it's just like, yeah.
And then she leans over and she goes, I have a cute angina. And he's like, I don't think it's too bad at all, love.
Cute. It's fucking gorgeous.
I'll tongue punch you in your angina.
Oh, me anus fell out.
Bend over there now and I'll lift your card. Oh, you've got the same incontinence knickers that I have. That's kind of sexy, isn't it?
Ah, sure, if that's not a sign, what is? Oh no.
I'd like to think I can make you wet, but we'll go for clammy. Clammy will do. Clammy. Sure. I can still work it in there with clammy.
You're always clammy.
That's two 95-year-olds having the dirty sex.
as they should. Huh?
What's your good news?
Male teachers in Spain wear skirts to school after student expelled for wearing one.
All right.
So numerous teachers have rocked a skirt to the classroom as part of a clothes have no gender movement after a boy was expelled for wearing a skirt last year. Teachers Manuel Ortega, 37, and Borja Velasquez, 36, are two of those who decided to don a skirt after seeing one of their students getting picked on in class. The duo said they want to show support for the youngster who was laughed at for wearing a t-shirt and with an anime character on. The boy was teased so badly he ended up changing his outfit, leaving Manuel horrified and prompting him to wear a skirt throughout the month of May. Fellow teacher Jose Pinas, or Pinas, has been wearing a skirt to school since last year. In a post on Twitter, he said he had previously suffered persecution because his sexual orientation. Many teachers looked the other way. I want to join the cause of the student Mikkel, who has been expelled and sent to the psychologist for going to class with a skirt. So this kid, he was getting teased for wearing an anime t-shirt. He comes in with a skirt and the teacher says, "You're expelled and we're sending you to a psychologist." The teachers have decided to ditch their trousers as a show of solidarity. Yeah, they did it wrong. For a 15-year-old called Mikel Gomez, who wore a skirt to school in the Basque Country and was told to go see a psychiatrist by his teacher, the teachers have been praised by parents online.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it just goes back to the whole kilt thing, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think it's just, you know, put on what you want to wear.
Yeah.
Right. But a certain part of me is going, like, you know, you're also going to have to realise that some people aren't going to have the same reaction that you want them to have.
Yeah.
You know. Where would you want to wear?
Yeah. I think the problem was that, like, he was getting he was getting teased for wearing the anime t-shirt.
Yeah.
I was like, what's wrong with the fucking Japanese? It's like, oh, God, well, I'll wear this then. You're wearing a fucking dress. Yes. What's wrong with it? Fucking... And then I suppose the teacher saying, "You're mental, son." That's fucking mental.
So now what sprung to mind is that scene in My Cousin Vinny when he goes into the courtroom the first time and the judge is like, "What are you wearing?"
The leather jacket thing.
Yeah. He's like, "What? This is what I wear." So when you come in here tomorrow, I want you to wear some kind of cloth. And then he turns up in the maroon morning suit. It's like, "Are you taking the piss?" It's like, "No, that's all I had." So it's like similar situations. Like, "What the fuck is that? My anime t-shirt. When you come in here tomorrow, you better not be wearing an anime t-shirt." "All right, then."
"You asked for it." "What's that?" "It's a skirt." "What the fuck, son? Are you mental?"
"It's not an anime skirt, though, is it?"
So, mathematics. Here we go. No. Psychologist for you, son. "I'm grand, sir." No, you're mental. So yeah, teacher's going, "Well, I'll wear a skirt. What are you going to do? You're going to send me to sculptures? You're fucking mad. You're a teacher."
Yeah. Look, I'm all for that. You know, it's very much captain by captain, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I'd probably do it. Then again, I don't mind wearing a kilt. So I'd go, "Pfft."
"You don't mind wearing a kilt or sucking dick. So where can people find us, Adam?"
The best place to find us is www.thenewsburp.com. For all the links to our shows, you'll find at the bottom of the screen, you'll find links to TeePublic, where you can find our cartoon faces slapped across t-shirts, bags, hoodies, badges, all kind of things that are cool and like knick-knacky. Then you have a link to PayPal. So if you enjoyed the show and you want to say, "Those lads are really good," and you just want to throw us a once-off kind of monies, you can get onto that, throw us once-off monies, and you don't have to talk to us ever again. But we hope you'll enjoy it and you'll come back again. Because then you can go onto Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/newsburp. And for different amounts of monies, we'll give you different amounts of things. So you can get the show a day early, you can get an ad version of the show, you can get videos of the show. Then there's our Patreon, so you get all the same with the Patreon, which is our top five and our Florida Mans. And then you get your shout-outs, and our shout-outs go to
Kevin Fagan, Aaron Eldred, Fiona Cleary, Nathan Peterson, Paul Blunt, and Sharon Ryan, Alexander Henry, Sarah Becca.
Is that everybody?
That's it.
All right.
Yeah. That's everybody. Thanks very much for your support. If you're listening on an app, you probably are, hit the review button. Give us a review, bitches.
On that note,
stay safe. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.